This morning, I've never been the traditional kind of preacher where I preach on Christmas story at Christmas time, Mother's at Mother's Day, and Father's at Father's. I've never been that type. I've always been the type to say, if God leads you in one direction, go that direction and don't worry about it. But for this morning, now the Lord's actually put it on my heart to preach on the Christmas story. But it's something that I had heard a long time ago, and I had never really put a whole lot of thought into it until God put it on my heart just this past week. And in Luke chapter 2, we're just going to read the first 7 verses. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went out to be taxed, every one, into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because it was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger." And here's the root of my text: because there was no room for them in the inn. Let's pray. Father, we pray now that You might have Your will and way as we go into this message today, and ask that You might guide our hearts, direct us, Father, speak to us in the way that we need it. Father, give us utterance and clarity of thought and mind and strength of body to speak the words. And thank You for that precious gift, Lord, the one that You gave when You sent Your Son to be our propitiation on Calvary's cross. We give You our thanks and our praise, offer our blessings, Father, as long as You leave us on this earth, and then we'll give them to You into eternity. And we'll thank You for what You do. In Your name we pray. Amen. All right, I want to preach to you this morning. And I want you to put this thought in your mind, with this being the end of a year and we're coming to the close of 2017. And as we go into the end of this year, what I want to ask you is, will there be room? Now, that's something I hadn't really thought about until just this past week. But that's what I want you to ask yourself, as long as you're thinking about the upcoming year. I want you to think about, I mean, everybody's thinking about stuff. This is the time of year when the exercise companies are really making their money, you know. Everybody's got their New Year's resolution. I'm going to spend $1,000 and buy a new machine, and then after 3 months it ain't going to be good for anything except to hang my laundry on whenever I need it dried, or, you know, dirty clothes are going to get thrown over there on it, and that's all it's good for. But beloved, I'm going to tell you, there's a resolution that you and I need to be making, and we need to start making it now. And that resolution is that in the upcoming year, we're going to try to be closer to Jesus Christ than we were last year. Amen. That we're going to be closer to Him than we was the year before that. And if God wills and He allows us to go on further into the future, we're going to be even closer to Him than we were this upcoming year. Now, beloved, as you ask yourself this question, I want you to ask yourself, will there be room? Now, we get all kinds of busy in the days you young people have got school, you older folks have got jobs, and you other folks have got grandkids, and the world can real quick make you really, really, really busy, and even make you busy in the things that you swear of God are of God. But, beloved, I want to tell you something. You got to watch yourself, because sometimes you get so busy serving God that you're too busy to serve God. Sometimes you get so busy serving God, you're just too busy to serve God. You know, whenever you get to doing something that you swear is for the Lord, and then you turn around and realize, this whole time I've been doing it out of a sense of duty rather than a burden of love. Brother, love is what sent the Son of God to Calvary. Love is what made the Father take pity on a generation and a world of people that were going to go to hell had He not sent His Son. That's what love is. No greater love have this than a man lay down his life for his friends. But I want to tell you something. We need to get a love for God in our hearts, and one to the sense of where we make a resolution within ourselves that no matter whether it's the end of the year, whether it's the beginning of the year, whether it's the middle of the year, we're resolving within ourselves, we will make room for Jesus. You know, you ever think about this innkeeper? And I'm not going to take too awful long. I'm going to try to be as quick as I can. But by the help of the Lord, I want to preach for just a little while about this innkeeper. I want to preach about what this innkeeper might have been thinking and what he might have been having go through his heart and go through his mind as he was standing at the door, staring out the door at this man who was just another Jew. He was just another man that was a Jew to him. But behind him was a donkey. And there was a woman sitting on it, and it was obvious she was great with child. And as this man looked upon these two, what might have went through his mind and what might have been the reason that he directed them back to a barn in a manger where the Lamb of God was born amongst all the other livestock, that was in the barn at that time. Why was he not born in a bed in a warm, soft place of where it was clean instead of being born and laid in a feeding trough where the slop was poured out to the pigs and where the things were poured out to the cattle and to the horses and to the hay was laid in there for the camels to eat on? Why was it that this friend, I'm going to tell you something, church, I ain't got no experience in this whatsoever, but just finding out the news that I got yesterday has given me a whole new eye about what it means to for a little bitty, just a little bitty precious something to be laid in something so filthy and know that that precious thing that was sent from God Almighty was completely perfect and sinless, and it was sent for me, and the world rejected him because they knew him not. They put him in an ungodly place because he was a king of heaven. Man. Whew. Boy, I tell you what. I asked myself, and as I was going through this last night, I was wondering why. Why would the innkeeper put him where he did? Well, there was just a couple of things I kind of jotted down. I didn't get extensive. Oftentimes God gives me a message at the beginning of the week and I have the whole week to prepare it. I've got it laid out just how God gives it to me, and it works for me that way. This morning He gave me the thoughts and I just jotted them down real quick. I ain't got much to go on. I'm just trusting Him today. And I do all the time now. I don't want you to think I don't. My problem is if I don't have a little bit of something to go by, I'll be in every rabbit hole that you've got between here and the end of this message. By the time we get there, I won't have anything to have said except just to jump around and entertain you for a few minutes. I want to give you something this morning that'll help you. I want to give you something to think about as you go tomorrow to be with your families and as you go to be with your loved ones as they celebrate this holiday and as we celebrate this birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I know He wasn't born at this time. He's born a little earlier in the year than now. He wasn't born on 25th December. If you don't understand that, I'd be happy to explain it at a later date. But I'm going to tell you something. This time of the year when we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, we've got to keep in mind that when He came, there wasn't no room for Him. The first place that His parents came to when He was fixing to come into the world was under the roof of a man who had no room for Him. When the Savior of the world came into this world, it was under a roof that was owned by a man who had no room for Jesus. And as we go into 2018, I ask you to go into your own heart and look and ask yourself, have I made preparation and room for Jesus in my house and in my heart in this upcoming year? I want to say this first of all, brother and sister. Maybe the reason this man sent the Lord around to the side into the barn was because he was just too busy. He was an innkeeper. I mean, you got to remember, it says that in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Every man had to go back to the place of his nativity, go back to the place he was born, and had to go back and had to go and present himself for a census and for a taxing. It was a busy time. This innkeeper probably had... There ain't no telling how many people coming beating on his door. Hey, we need a room. We got to go for the taxing tomorrow. Hey, we need a room. You got a place. He was a busy man. It's a lot of travel coming through there. A lot of people. And brother and sister, unfortunately, you and I live in a fast-paced world. And in a fast-paced world, there's no time. There's no time. There's no time for Jesus. No time for Jesus. We make time for everything else. But we ain't got time for Jesus. Uh-huh. We make time for all of our stuff. But we ain't got time for Jesus. I mean, teenagers will make time for boyfriends and girlfriends. But they ain't got time for Jesus. Mamas and daddies will make time for sports. Go watch their youngins play ball. But they'll, we missed church. We should have been there, but we weren't. That's okay. The innkeeper got so busy, he sent Jesus around the side too. Laodicea is the church of the closed door, not the open door. When the Lord wrote the letter to the Laodicean church in Revelation, He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." But unfortunately, just a bunch of us like the innkeeper cracked the door. "We're all full up, Lord. You're going to have to go around to the barn." We're full, Lord! With what? Work. We've got jobs. We'll take off for a month to go do our stuff. You know, we'll take a month out of the year and take off that many days to go do our stuff. And then we got to fly back in here and make up for it at our jobs that we got to work at. And all that while we'll send Jesus around to the barn. See, there's some recognition here that what I'm saying is right, but there's a lot of this going, some of it's going, When the Holy Ghost of God tells you it's Sunday morning, time to be at the church house. Amen. And what do? Do you open up and say, "Lord, I'm ready, let's go. You want to ride with me or can I ride with you?" Or do we say, "I'll catch an a.m. preaching service. You can go wait for me in the barn. It's where my car is." See? See? Say, "Oh, preacher, you're getting mean. This is Christmas." I'm telling you the truth. Amen, brother. I'm telling you the truth. Right. Sunday evening. Hey. Service is starting at 6 o'clock down to church house. You going to go with me? Lord, we went this morning. We got yelled at already once. Is that not enough for a week? Tell you what, you just head over to the barn. I'll holler at you when I'm ready to bless my food.
Amen.
See, I don't like this no more than you do, but it's true. It's true. How about Wednesday night? Hey, they're having Bible study and prayer meeting down at the church. Hey, preacher's starting Revelation. Wasn't you excited about listening to that? Man, come on. Let the preacher tell you about how I'm going to bless you by taking you out of this world before you have to go through all that hell. Why don't you go learn about that? You want to go? Hey, you can go with me. Man, what about that? For God to open the door and say, "You can go to church with me."
Yeah, amen.
Lord, I've worked all week. I'm tired. I need to rest. Why don't you just go away to the barn? Too busy. Now, I want to do this. I want to give the benefit of the doubt to the innkeeper. He could not have known that that woman pregnant was pregnant with the Son of God. He couldn't have known that. You know, we need to give him the benefit of the doubt. It wasn't like he had time to go down to the temple. on Sabbath day and listen to the priest read about Isaiah, where he wrote and said, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Or read about, "A virgin shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel," which has been interpreted God with us. He didn't have time to go to the temple, otherwise he might have known that that woman on that donkey was carrying the Lamb of God. If he'd have had enough time to have poked his head outside the door of his own house, he might have looked in the sky and saw a star that was shining. Because it was going to stand over a place where the Son of God was going to be born. But he couldn't poke his head out of the barn long enough to see what God was doing.
Amen.
No. Going around to the barn. Going around to the barn. I'm too busy right now. Oh, we got to give him the benefit of the doubt. He didn't know. He didn't know because he was too busy to go to the temple when he should have and learned about the prophecies and listened to them.
Amen.
Too busy. I want to say this too. He probably was too out of touch. See, he's too out of touch. Verses 8 and 9 says, "There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them." Notice he didn't say he came unto them. It says he came upon them. What does that tell you? That tells me that was something like a Holy Ghost revival out there in the field with a bunch of sheep, because the ones who were out in the field were watching. They were keeping watch over what? Their flock. I have no doubt that maybe the Lord might have intended in His mind, these boys are going to be preachers. They're watching and they're watching over the flock. They'll understand. But this guy, this innkeeper, he's too out of touch, see? The shepherds saw the angels because they were the ones watching. They saw the angels because they were the ones watching. You know, the only people that are going to be blessed when the Lord shows up are the ones who are found watching. Paul said, "I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Hence, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. But not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing."
Amen.
But this, the innkeeper, he was too out of touch. He wasn't in touch. He wasn't watching. I mean, these shepherds probably passed by that inn every day. Bethlehem's not a big town. Them shepherds out there watching over those sheep, they ain't no telling how many times a day they might have passed that inn. And that guy standing in the doorway sweeping the dirt out of the house because there was a bunch of filthiness in there. Because he'd sent Jesus around the barn. And them shepherds pass by and see the innkeeper and they say, "Hey, see you at church Sunday?" Or Sabbath, for them it'd be Sabbath, Saturday. Say, "We'll see you at temple on Sabbath." "I don't know, boys, I'll try to get there if I can. Got a lot of tenants in here." You ever read the story about the parable about the man who had the unclean spirits within him? It says, and the Lord cast them out, and the inside was swept and cleaned. But unfortunately, it wasn't inhabited by the Son of God. And so because it wasn't inhabited by the Son of God, the unclean spirits brought back more unclean spirits that were wickeder than they were, and came back and got in the house again. "I got too many tenants in here. I ain't got time. I'll try to get there. Hey, I might surprise you one day." Pass by. "Hey, we're fixing to go to the house, get cleaned up. It's Wednesday night, time for Bible study and prayer meeting. You gonna come? We gonna see you there? It's just right down the road. We gonna see you there? I got a couple of new ones in here today. And I'm trying to get everything cleaned up, supper made." out of touch with eternity and in touch with worldly events. How about that? You know what bothers, and I think it bothers the Lord. I really do. I don't claim to know the mind of the Lord, but I do believe that the Lord is bothered by the fact that you and I as Christians will get more upset over worldly events than over the fact people are dying and going to hell. I know this country's got a lot of destruction and damage. I mean, we've had hurricanes that's wiped the place out down south. We've got fires that are taking the country apart over in the west. But I'm going to tell you something. When you get more concerned about the fact people are losing their homes, I understand loss of homes is terrible. And I understand loss of property is terrible. But I'm going to tell you what, the loss of their souls is worse. Paul didn't say having houses and cars and land and this and that and the other, be content. He said having food and raiment. So when we get more concerned about the fact that people are losing all their stuff, but we don't mention a word about their soul, then we've chosen to get out of touch and tell the Lord, hey, head around to the barn. I'm more worried about peace on earth, goodwill to men, and they ain't even seen the angels yet. Because they ain't watching. Instead of watching this, which tells you the events of everything that's going to happen between now and eternity, we got this closed and our eyes are on the boob tube watching about all the destruction. Amen. Instead of watching here. Now say, I'm preaching. I ain't getting a whole lot of feedback, but I'm still preaching. And then I'm going to say this and I'm going to quit. I told you I wouldn't be long. Of course, this next one could take 15, 20 minutes. Y'all know me better than that, don't you? Say, we're almost done. Famous last words. 30 minutes later, all right, I'm about done. 10 more minutes. Hey, it's Christmas. You ain't got to come back tonight either. So I got to get it in while I can. And y'all got a visiting preacher coming Wednesday. I ain't even going to be here. All right. And then the last thing I want to say is this. He may have been too busy. He probably out of touch. But I'll say this. He's too full. No room. I mean, wasn't that the whole thing? It says that there was no room for them. And that's what this whole thing has been about. There's no room. You do realize the innkeeper lied, right? He says, I ain't got no room. I'm full up. That's a lie. He could have given his room. Could have given his room. Unwilling to sacrifice his own comfort so Jesus could have a place. And you know it was that way all through the Lord's life while he was on this earth. Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Amen. Why? Because the first one who had the opportunity to give him somewhere, Brother Candler, sent him to the barn. Amen. He come into this world to die and give his life for mankind, and he got sent to the barn. And everywhere he went everywhere doing good and preaching, and all they did was seek to kill him the whole time. You know, the only time they blessed him and worshipped his name was when he come into Jerusalem on the back of that little donkey and they throwed the palm branches in the ground and throwed their garments down and hollered, Hosanna to the highest. You know why? Because they thought he was fixing to come in and take over and be the king. And that would have benefited them. They only worshipped him when it was beneficial to them. But when he was going around rubbing the feathers the opposite direction of all the Pharisees and the religious upstarts of the time, then we ain't got no room. We ain't willing to sacrifice our comforts so that Jesus can have a place. You just don't know what I'm going through. You're right. I have no idea what you're going through. I have no idea what your life consists of beyond the walls of this church. I have no idea. But I know somebody that does. Amen. And I'm not saying he tells me what you're going through. But I tell you right now, He knows what you're going through. And He knows when He offers the invitation whether you send Him to the barn or not. He knows. I wonder if oftentimes our livestock ain't more in touch with God than we are, because they spend more time with Him than we do. Send him to the barn. You know what they you know what that innkeeper unknowingly did by turning them away to the barn? He says, "You guys go around there and fend for yourselves." If he would have brought them in the house, he would have got them a bowl and let them wash their feet and wash themselves and clean themselves and give them a place to be warm and comfortable. And that poor little old virgin girl could have laid down there on a bed and given birth to that child with at least a small bit of comfort and a little bit of cleanliness and just a little bit of help. Maybe they had a midwife who was there as a resident midwife. There ain't no telling how small or big this place was, and they could have got some help for her. Called a doctor, called a midwife. But no, we sent her to the barn to fend for themselves. When we need Jesus, He can stay inside, but when it's all okay, He can fend for Himself. He can fend for Himself. I ask you this morning, when you look at the year coming, will there be room? I'll make room. I'll make room. Will you now? It's got to start somewhere. Say, I'll make room. Okay, when? Are you going to empty out the stuff that's already in there? Or are you going to knock down a wall and try to expand? See, now you're just trying to force it. Why don't you get out of your room and say, Lord, You can have mine. All that other stuff that's in there, Lord, I'm going to let You go in and be in my room, and You can arrange the house however You want it. And who You want in there can be in there, and who You don't want in there can get out. All I'm going to do is I'm going to stand outside, and I'm going to go to the barn. Because were it not for the Lamb of God, I wouldn't be no different than a beast. I'd be lost, without hope, and without God, and on my way to hell.
Amen, brother.
Amen, brother. Amen.
So I ask you this morning, are you going to do something about it? You going to make room for Him? Or are we just going to sit here and say, yeah, I'll take care of it next week? We got a week, right? I mean, next Sunday's New Year's Eve. We're going to be at Yellow Mountain. Watch night. Or are we going to wait and hope that the Holy Ghost of God convicts us up there? Or are we going to take care of it now and get a jump start on the year? You going to make room? Let's bow our heads. Heads bowed, eyes closed just for a few minutes. If you're here this morning, the Lord spoke to your heart and you want to come. Give you this opportunity to just come. You gonna make room for Him? You gonna make room? This innkeeper just sent him to the barn. How many more times are we gonna send him to the barn before we get fed up with that being where he is and give him our room? Think of something to say and I ain't got nothing. I feel like everything that was said is all that needed to be said. I'm just letting the Lord deal. If you you don't feel like you need to do anything, that's fine. But I'll tell you, yesterday I got down on my knees because God gave me a reason to make sure that I had a room for Jesus. Because there's fixing to be somebody else in my house. And I'm going to be responsible. I'm going to be responsible for their soul. Responsible for where they go and what they do and being in the church house when they need to be. That's all going to be on me. And if I don't have a room for Jesus, or for that matter, if I don't take one of the lower rooms and give Him mine, then I'm already destined to fall. And I'm not saying I'm not going to. I appreciate your attention this morning. I hope God's blessed you and been a good service to be in the Lord's house, been a good Christmas Eve, and I sure hope God blesses you this year, the rest of this year. Now, like I said, me and Heather are leaving and going out of town tomorrow to go see her family. They've not been told this wonderful news, so we're going to go down and share this news with them and just spend some time with them. It's like my family told me, they need this. They need this news because of all that they've already went through this year. We've buried one son, one brother, and so y'all pray for us as we travel. We're leaving out either late tonight or early tomorrow morning. We're going to get down there, try to get down there by about mid-morning, Christmas Day. So y'all pray to the Lord, keep us safe as we travel. Lord willing, we're going to be back here. We're going to head home Saturday. We got watch night. We're going to be here next Sunday. Now, Wednesday night, Brother Sergio is going to be here, and he's going to preach. I tried to get Brother Corey, but his new job prohibits him from coming and being here for night services. If we do get to go to Honduras at the end of January, Brother Corey will be here for Sunday morning, but he can't be here Sunday nights or Wednesday nights. If he could, I was going to give him all of them, and I was going to let him preach a whole shooting match. Because Brother Sergio is a pastor and he's got a church in Highlands, and I know that takes his obligation from time to time, and I didn't want to add more to him, but I know Brother Corey needs chances to preach, and I want to give them to him. So, but anyway, Brother Sergio will be here Wednesday night, and then I'll be back here Sunday morning. So, anybody got anything before we go? You better give you flowers while somebody's here to get them. You're going to run out of time. Anybody else? Suit you. Anybody else? You that ain't going to have a Merry Christmas. Need to remember them. Thank God. Hey, pray for these people, but thank God for what He's given you.
Amen.
I never forget Brother David when he prays. Every time he prays, I always hear him thank God for his family and another day that God gave him to spend with them. Now, I ain't trying to point Brother David out, and I hope I'm not embarrassing him, but there's a reason that brother prays for that. Do you know why? Because he knows what it feels like to lose somebody.
Yes,
That's why he prays for that and thanks God for what he does have. Anybody else?
Let's just remember my family that's lost.
Okay.